back in Manitoba many moons ago.
Our Sunday morning date with Gordon Goldsborough begins now. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Nadia.
Remind us of the clue from last week.
Well, of course, this year is Manitoba's 150th birthday, and every so often we've had a bit of a discussion on places that remind us of Manitoba as it would have been experienced by people living back 150 years ago. You know, we've talked about fur trade things, we've talked about churches, we've talked about homes. This week, we're going to talk about natural places that remind us of life in 1870.
So by natural places, do you mean living things?
Right. Yeah, exactly. I mean things like forests and grasslands, things that are still present today, places that would not necessarily be expected to have survived. You know, of course, the fact is that the landscape of southern Manitoba has been so dramatically altered through the years, you know, through the effects of urbanization, the development of intensive agriculture. You know, there are, of course, vast areas of northern and eastern Manitoba that still exist pretty much as they did centuries ago. And so that's why our discussion today is going to focus on the natural spaces in the more heavily populated areas of southern Manitoba. And we also need to be clear that we're making a distinction between conservation and restoration.
What's the difference?
Well, I personally think of conservation as meaning, you know, the preservation of something that was never lost. You know, whereas restoration refers to recreating, in this case, natural habitat. You know, so we're mostly talking about conservation. And so we can talk, for instance, about the fine work being done by the Nature Conservancy of Canada. I'll abbreviate that as the NCC. It's a private nonprofit organization, and its objective basically is to protect natural areas across the country. Its first land acquisition here in Manitoba occurred in 1977, and so far it has conserved over 175,000 acres of pristine habitat. Its primary mandate is for space that is critical for sustaining plants and wildlife, you know, so for, you know, living things. But, you know, it's interesting. They also acquire land that is historically significant. So, for example, the NCC has acquired sites of former fur trade posts, such as Riding Mountain House in western Manitoba and Fort Ellis over in the Saskatchewan border. But there's lots of other precious places that are protected by agencies in addition to the NCC.
Can you give us some examples?
Well, you know, one wonderful place in western Manitoba that I especially love is Riding Mountain National Park. You know, it's protected basically in perpetuity by the federal government. You know, it's so distinct that, well, in fact, if you zoom in on a satellite image, you know, you can see the boundaries of the park very clearly. It's so different from the surrounding land. You know, and in fact, it goes back to the 1890s. The government recognized its significance. It withheld this heavily forested area from the lands that were available for settlement. And then in 1906, the land was made what was called a forest reserve, in which only two things were allowed to happen, hunting and fishing. But, you know, people recognized us how significant it was. So in 1927, two men from Dauphin, Duncan MacDonald and John McFadden, they began advocating for the reserve to become Manitoba's first national park. And it opened officially in July 1933.
Now, speaking of forests, haven't we talked in this series about another intact pre-settlement forest in southern Manitoba?
Indeed, we did. You know, back in September of 2018, you and I spoke about the Oxbow Woods. It's on the south margin of Delta Marsh, north of Portisla Prairie. You know, and we know that it's a fairly rare and quite old forest. We've measured the ages of the trees in that forest, and the oldest one, as near as we can tell, dates from 1854. Which is actually before that part of Manitoba was settled by farmers. You know, it's one of the few remaining intact forests in that part of the province, mainly because most of them had been cut down at some point for firewood.
Can you tell us about some other old trees around Manitoba?
Yeah, we have a thing called the Manitoba Heritage Trees Program. It's a collaboration between the provincial government, the Manitoba Forestry Association, and some others to recognize special individual trees. You know, and so far it has registered 94 heritage trees around the province. One of the oldest of them is a bur oak in Souris. Now, you know, it's a majestic oak. It's huge. It's 31 inches in diameter. Just a massive oak tree. It's estimated by some sources, at least, to be 500 years old. You know, and another important tree in the registry is the halfway tree. And of course, anybody who travels between Winnipeg and Brandon along the Trans-Canada Highway probably remembers the halfway tree. It's supposed to mark the point at which you're halfway between the two places. There is, however, a little bit of controversy about which tree is the real halfway tree, because there are actually two of them. There is a willow on the westbound lane. There is a cottonwood on the eastbound lane, and they're about 5 miles apart, but people have designated both of them as the halfway tree, so I really don't know which one is the correct one.
Now, much of southern Manitoba was once covered in grassland. I'm wondering if there is much left.
There are remnants of tall grass, mixed grass, and what's also called sandhill prairie here and there around the province. Now, some of it is formerly protected, while others is in private hands. In southeastern Manitoba, we have the Manitoba Tall Grass Prairie Reserve, and there's some wonderful tall grass prairie there. You know, there's some tall grass prairie in the southern parts of the Interlake region. Here in Winnipeg, we have the Living Prairie Museum in St. James. In the Transcona area, we have a monument along Regent Avenue that actually reminds us of a small patch of tall grass prairie there. Then if you want to see mixed grass prairie, there's actually quite a lot of it along the border with Saskatchewan and in a few places in southwestern Manitoba, places around Lauder, for example. And then sandhills, well, of course, a lot of people know that if you travel to the Spruce Woods Provincial Park, southwest of Carberry, you can see some magnificent sandhills. Well, there is prairie associated with that too. So these places, these prairies, have mostly survived intact because they're in places that were not well suited to agriculture.
Now I'm going to tap into your wetland scientist persona, Gordon Goldsborough. What about wetlands? Are there many of those left?
Well, you know, at one time, a large area of southern Manitoba was covered in wetlands. And that was one of the challenges, in fact, in turning southern Manitoba into the agricultural landscape it is today. You know, through the effects of the governments and early farmers, much of these wetlands were drained. You know, so for example, in the Red River Valley, we have some very detailed statistics on the elimination of wetlands. It was based on research by Dr. Irene Hanuta, and she compared maps from the 1870s to modern maps. So she found, for example, that in the 1870s, wetlands made up 11% of the area. And that doesn't sound like very much, I suppose, but you know, when you think that there's other things there as well, that's actually quite a lot. And it's a really lot compared to what that percentage is today. Not 11%, it is 0.1%, you know, a hundredth of that. But there are some big wetlands left that were present in 1870. So, for example, on the west side of Lake Manitoba, we have the enormous Big Grass Marsh. You know, it was extensively drained in the late 19th century, again, supposedly to maybe make it possible to farm, but it's remained wet in most parts. In fact, a lot of it has been restored. But if we go northeast of Winnipeg, there was an even larger wetland there at one time. It was known originally as the St. Andrew's Bog. Now, the central core of it still exists, but it's much smaller than it was in the past, again, because of the effects of agriculture through the years. And we don't call it the St. Andrew's Bog anymore. Today, we call it Oak Hammock Marsh. You know, so to me, I find it reassuring that, you know, despite a lot of transformation here in southern Manitoba over the past 150 years, we can still find places that we can enjoy nature in pretty much the same way that our ancestors would have found familiar.
It doesn't happen often, but I do love it when abandoned Manitoba ends on something reassuring. So thank you for this, Gordon.
You're welcome.
Clue for next week, please.
We're going to consider a class of building that is epitomized by the classic movie line, and you're going to have to imagine this being said as a young child, "Please, sir, I want some more."
Okay, my day has been made. here in Gordon Goldsborough saying that. And I actually know what you're talking about for once. I get the cultural reference. Thanks so much, Gordon. Looking forward to it.
We'll talk next week.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.